Welcome to the show that has it all. This is the Betfred Super League.
What a game!
Champions, challengers, newcomers, league's faithful. Hold on tight. This is the Betfred Super League 2024. There's nothing like league. Yeah.
Took a big chunk.
Bleeding. It's bleeding.
Oh no, it's bleeding. The thing just ripped my ear off. What do you think?
I trust you all had a pleasant Easter. It was a happy one for six Super League clubs and for the game in general. Big crowds and one game in particular displayed everything that's good about the sport. I'm talking, of course, about Saints Wigan. Played in front of a full house on Good Friday, and what a game it was. We'll reflect it all now in the company of Steve-O on this week's edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast. Thanks for joining us again, and thanks for the continued support of the game's major sponsor, Betfred. Steve-O is still in Australia, of course. He'll be heading back to Blighty in the not-too-distant. But I believe, Steve-O, it was a fantastic holiday weekend down under as well.
Oh, amazing. The crowds were just outstanding. And that has to be some worry in regards to the fact that in the UK, we're so far behind, perhaps in the playing ability. But the crowds are just getting bigger and bigger in Oz. Simple as that.
I read somewhere that were record-breaking crowds there, averaging around about 25,000 people a game, and a record aggregate attendance for a single round of over 200,000. That's fantastic.
Because they do one thing right over here. Publicity. They promote the game, Eddie. Every newspaper, not like we have in the UK, it's continuous. They promote it.
They do, and they do a great job. And so let us promote our game, Steve-O, because the Easter programme is always eagerly, eagerly awaited. It was down to just the one match this year, and it started on Thursday night. Now, Castleford, they held leads to 0-0 at half-time, but then the Rhinos pulled away in the second half. We thought, didn't we, the Tigers' first Super League win of 2024 was on the way.
Yeah, and to be fair, you can see that they're improving each and every week. The first 40 minutes, but they looked very tired in the second 40. And that's where Leeds started to take control. So it's difficult. New coach. Thankfully, the fans are backing the Tigers. And they've every right to do that. And I'm sure that they'll turn it around. But even at this early stage, there's no way in the world they're going to make it in the playoffs.
Oh, no. I mean, they're still waiting for their first win of the season. So, you know, that tells you that's in Super League anyway. They are still in with the chance of doing something, I suppose. But, you know, two Australians, Momorowski and Lachlan Miller, saw Rhinos home in the second half. Castleford struggling. What do you expect from Leeds this year, Steve-O? Because they were determined to improve on what happened in 2023.
I think when you've got to look at the Rhinos is that they've gone back to basics and bringing the youngsters through. And so many youngsters, it's difficult for them to gel. But I can see that they've got the nucleus of a really good side in the future. They'll struggle one way or the other, but I reckon within the next three seasons, they will be a really big force again.
Well, they've got a massive match coming up this weekend. They're playing Warrington. Justin Sangare will miss the match. He's suspended. But Cam Smith, he has had his one-match ban overturned on appeal, so he will be there for Leeds. And on the other side of the coin, Paul Vaughan, he's out for two matches. So that might level things up, mightn't it?
Well, it often does when one of your best players is not available. I think this will be the game of the round, mainly because of the fact that Warrington, under the new coach, they're looking good. It's going to be a cracking game. Don't miss it.
It will be a great game. And, of course, Catalan Dragons, they dished out Warrington's second defeat of the season on Saturday. You say Warrington are doing well. They are, but they started really slowly against the Catalan, who are now in the top two, of course. Warrington 18-0 down in the first 10 minutes. They never really recovered, did they?
No, and let's give Catalans a little bit of a pat on the back. You know, your opposition can only do so much, and the Catalan defence was outstanding, and they're going to be thereabouts when it comes to the playoff. No two ways about that. I know that the old adage is that, oh, you know, the teams have to go in the height of summer down to the south of France. So what? You know, it's an advantage that they get. So, in effect, if it starts raining up into the north of England, then perhaps they're not as good, Catalan, when it gets into wet weather. So you can't use that as a slide rule in regards to how they're going to perform this year. But there's word that quite a few of the Catalan players are being chased by other clubs.
Yes, there is. I mean, this Easter weekend win for Catalan was tremendous. No Farge, no Morg, no Nakarima. They had too much for Warrington. You mentioned the Dragons' defence. Four sets on their own line. Then Jordan Abdul scored on the bell. Steve-O, what a player Jordan Abdul has developed into this year. What a good signing he is for Steve McNamara.
Do you know, it surprised me about Abdul that not a lot of the other clubs have actually snapped him up. You know, he's on loan at Catalans, and do you know, he's been on loan throughout his career for four clubs. He was on loan to Doncaster, Featherstone, Hull KR, and he's on loan again on Catalan. Now, you'd think that if you're going to be led away from your club that's playing in your first contract and you're on loan, then you're no good. Look, this guy played for England in 2021. He's one of the steadiest players that you'll get. He has a good kicking game and he has a good rugby league brain. But when you look at the fact, what, they've let him go from his original club on loan on four occasions. That's madness. The man's too good for that. And he proved it with Catalan.
He did. And as I say, his kicking game, magnificent. And also his conversions, they help as well. Let's have a word about Steve McNamara, by the way. He's rebuilt the side again this winter with signings like Abdul. And as you rightly say, it looks like he might have to do it again next year. Rumours of the Dragons, notably Tom Johnston returning to Wakefield, Mike McMeekin allegedly heading there too, Tom Davis set to go as well. But now a rumour that Tommy Makinson might be considering a move from the Saints to the south of France. He does brilliantly, McNamara, you know, to keep this club going.
He certainly does. And he's been a revelation in regards to the fact that he brings down players like Jordan Abdul. He knows what type of player he needs. He knows the sort of style that he's got to do. And he tries to work on, and has done throughout his coaching career, is that make sure the defence is solid. But in the opening 10, 15 minutes, he'll throw everything at the opposition. Not many coaches do that. He reckons he's got the players to be able to just create a lot in the first 15, 20 minutes. And it's paid off. Look, it's been a huge success.
He really has. 18-0 up after 10 minutes at Warrington. And they scored two tries in the first 10 minutes of the second half as well. And they're top of the table alongside the Saints. Now then, let's move on to Good Friday. Two major talking points. Saints Wigan, and what a match that was, as I say. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, Hull Kingston Rovers and Hull FC. Yet another derby defeat for Hull. At least they weren't nil this time, Steve-O. They lost 22-0 in round one.
Will Mr. Smith be sacked? That's obviously going around in the black and white area of Hull. I know he said that it's a long-term situation. And when you look at his past record, he's every right to say that he can right the ship and they will come back. But I'm afraid the start of this season, they're in a lot of trouble.
They are. They rallied a bit in the second half. They were 28-0 down on Good Friday at halftime. They were written off by just about everyone on the telly, even before a ball was kicked. You know, and had Rovers kicked their goals, it might have been 36-0 down at halftime. But Hull did come back a bit in the second half. They never looked like winning, though, did they? Never. Never, ever.
No. No, and as I say, the Red and Whites, and I think the Rovers are playing some really, really good rugby league football. They'll be difficult to beat, especially on their home ground. It's not easy to go there, but all I can say is that they've got a good coach, they've got a very, very strong forward pack, and they've got power out wide. And, you know, they've got a good halfback combination. It's a solid team, and it wouldn't surprise me if they get to Wembley again, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're in the playoffs as well.
That's Hull KR. For Hull FC, well, Tony Smith, he must have heard the Rovers crowd singing, "You're getting sacked in the morning." But you're right, he's come out post-match saying, basically, "Look at my record. I'm in this for the long haul." Yes, an embarrassing display, he said, but he is there to turn the club around. I wonder if he's got the time.
Whether the club will give him the time. That is always the problem that you have when you're going through a bad period in regards to the fact, do you blame the player? Do you blame the coach? Do you blame the people that bought the players, etc. and so forth? Everyone looks for an excuse. It's okay, Smith saying, well, it's a long-term situation and he'll turn it around. And when you look at his past record, as we've said before, it's brilliant. He has turned things around at every club that he's been there.
Yeah, well, it doesn't get any easier for Hull FC. Next four, Steve-O: Huddersfield, St Helens, Leeds, Warrington, and then May the 12th away at London. What a crunch game that will be if things stay the same.
Well, I can't see them changing much for either side, because being not critical, but honest, they just don't have the top quality players that you need in Super League. And I feel sorry for the London Broncos. You know I'm associated with them.
Yep.
And I'm biased. I want to see them do well. But mentally, they've got no chance, because even before a ball was kicked, they said, well, they're going to be relegated. Simple as that. They do not meet the requirements that IMG have put forward to it. Even if they won every single game from here on in, which certainly won't happen, we know that. But even if they did, they're still doomed. Now, that is not a positive culture to be playing rugby league in.
No, it isn't. A very positive culture, though, for Hull KR, and a wonderful result for them. And a great tribute to the one and only Phil Lowe, remembered as we knew he would be by the whole city on Friday lunchtime. OK, swiftly following on from the Hull derby came Saints and Wigan. This, Steve-O, was by a country mile the best of the season so far.
Without a doubt. And it has been for quite some time, hasn't it? There was sort of a bit of a shake-up at the start of this year when we were all expecting, especially the Warrington fans, that this could be the year where they could claim to have a real good shot at the title. But it's going to take a very, very good side to beat either Wigan or St. Helens for the major prize.
Very much so. We've saw on Friday the last two winners of the World Club Crown, and they played like world champions both of them. 245 days. Good old Ian Proctor, by the way. He got a couple of great mentions for his meticulous and impressive research and knowledge. 240 days since Wigan last were beaten. 28 years, Steve-O. 28 years, it seems like yesterday. To the very day that Paris Saint-Germain and Sheffield kicked off the first ever game of Super League in Paris. What a match this was to mark that milestone anniversary. It had everything, absolutely everything.
Well, not only that, speculation about Lewis Dodd. The media down here are suggesting that quite a few clubs are interested, mainly due to the fact that evidently Lewis Dodd has signed a contract with an Aussie company called SFX Sports Down Under. And of course, that's just like, well, that's a carrot for everybody to munch on and say he must be coming back, must be going, sorry, to Australia. But I've also heard that he's on the verge of signing a long-term contract at Saints.
Well, what's a contract, Steve-O? You ripped up a piece of paper once in front of the television camera, said that's what a contract's worth. Rip up, it went in smoke.
Well, we didn't have managers then. That's how old it was. But it's, look, I understand that. And there's quite a lot of ins and outs going on, et cetera, and so forth. But that just gives you the difference between what we've got in Australia, is that if there's a sniff of something, it's not just pushed away in a newspaper down at the bottom over there. It's big headlines. There was talk a couple of weeks ago, I think it was Matty Johns, that suggested that the NRL were talking to Super League to perhaps invest in our game in the UK. I hope that's true. Was it flying a kite? I don't know. But boy, we'd love to get that finance so that we could perhaps make sure that we promote what I call the greatest game of all.
Well, Steve, we would certainly welcome investment from the NRL with open arms. I've no doubt about that. But, you know, you've probably put the fear of God into St. Helens supporters, saying that people like Lewis Dodd are going to be cherry-picked and taken down to the NRL. That won't go down well.
Well, that just indicates to you, Eddie, that all the journalists down here in Australia, they're looking all the time for an exclusive. You get a smell of something about a player like Lewis Dodd, it's big news. It's not pushed to one side. That's the difference.
I know, but, you know, we've got enough to talk about here on the field of play. And there were two major talking points from the Wigan Saints game. No red card for Tyler Dupree for the use of the elbow, but a red card for Liam Byrne. Now, Dupree's been banned for this week after his elbow into the throat of Matty Lees. Byrne, he's gone for four after his shoulder charge to the head of Mark Percival. Two key men missing for Wigan this week for the Battle of the Borough at Lee on Thursday. I mean, Lee will be rubbing their hands, won't they?
Well, they should be, but they've had an awful run of injuries. It's one of those games where you think to yourself, they'll lift themselves, don't worry. It'll be a tough battle. And I can't wait for this one because you've got to think to yourself, you know, can they match? Can Lee get up to 100%? And they'll need to be that way.
Matty Lees of St. Helens, he's picked up a two-match ban as well, Steve-O, for a head contact offence from Friday. He'll miss the big trip to Catalan on Saturday night. This is top against second. I mean, what a game that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty explosive round. No two ways about that. But the one thing that I'm happy with is the fact that the governing body are ensuring that these people are punished for doing something wrong on the field of play. And we've got to make sure that. I know we keep going back to the fact that, you know, we've got to clean up the image, but we really have to.
Last word on Saints and Wigan. They're describing it here as the nearest thing we've got in Super League to State of Origin. That's a big rap.
It is a big rap, and perhaps they're right for people to be thinking that way, because it is one of the best games in the UK. No two ways about it. But we've also got to look at the fact that the international game needs a boost. down under, we're a little bit concerned. When I say myself and a lot more people, is that the Australian public are looking at the state of origin that is stronger than the international game. Now, if we get youngsters thinking that way, then playing for your country, will that come down as a second status? We don't need that. We need to make sure that international competition continues on. I know the international board are looking at it, and they've set down a plan to ensure that the tours and the World Cup, etc., will still go on. And we must do that, because the greatest thing on any rugby league or any sports person is to play for your country. Simple.
It is, but I've read somewhere, I'm sure, I've just been searching for it again here, England are playing a game against France in France later in the year, and they've not actually finalised the venue yet. The arrangements aren't sorted out yet. I mean, that shows you just how poorly, if that be the right word, international football is being looked at in the Northern Hemisphere. Sorry to say it.
Yeah, well, you're spot on. But we were also going to have a World Cup in France, and it didn't matter whether it was on paper or on cardboard or whatever. It was ripped up.
I know, it never happened and won't happen. It's being moved to the Southern Hemisphere. And again, we're waiting for final confirmation about that. 2026, isn't it, I think? I think I'm right in saying.
I'm sure that Australia and New Zealand will split it.
It might even go to the islands, mightn't it? Will it go up there to Papua New Guinea, Samoa, somewhere like that?
I doubt it, Eddie, because they know that they'll get a sellout in Sydney or in Brisbane, and they'll know they'll get a sellout in New Zealand as well. Now, the New Zealand Warriors, their last three games, you can't buy a ticket. They're sold out.
No, I believe so.
That gives you some indication of what public relations has done, but they've done it in a way whereby you're not just supporting the club, you're supporting the country, which in many ways I wish could just happen with Catalan and Toulouse, that the crowd saying, look, we're not just supporting those two clubs, we're supporting our country. We're French and we want to win. That's what you've got to try to aim for, is to make you feel proud when you walk through that gate. I want my team to win. Of course I do. But full house, New Zealand, we're strong.
Well, we mentioned that we ought to try and build stars up and build young players up and give them a great future. Can I mention one bright spark up here, Steve-O? Lee, we mentioned last week, is it second season syndrome? We mentioned it briefly last week, but there is one bright, bright spark. Umaila Hanley, Ellery's lad, hat-trick of tries in the defeat at Salford. He looks a real prospect, 6 tries in 4 in Super League. And up against, in the Battle of the Borough, his parent club at the weekend. I hope there's no clause that Umaila Hanley cannot play for Lee against Wigan this weekend.
Well, I hope so too, because we're short of real stardom, as we mentioned at the start of this program. And we need people like that. And we need the PR companies to get behind them. And if he's only a fifth as good as his father, he's still going to be a great player.
Absolutely. And he knows where the try line is. He's proved that already. As I say, 6 in 4 in the Super League. Fantastic for him. It really is. And, you know, someone who's coming through for the Lee Leopards at the moment.
In Australia, right, the media and the PR companies would lift him. They would elevate him. This is a new star. This is the new this. This is the new that. They don't hold back. They want to make sure that people who are reading or watching, that kid's going to be a star. That kid's going to be a star. But they back it up. Personal appearances.
How do we change it then? Come on, how do we change it? You know, Eddie Hearn has been quoted this week again. Once linked, of course, with having a dabble in rugby league himself, of course. And, you know, he had apparently a conversation with Gabby Logan on her The Sports Agent podcast. He says, we've not got any stars. And that's the reason, you know, that we don't make progress. He says he's often been asked to get involved, and while he admires the sport, he asks the question, why would the average man or woman in the UK know who the likes of Jack Welsby is. It's a good point. This is a fellow who's helped make Anthony Joshua a superstar.
Well, it proves my point in regards to the fact public relations, make sure that the sponsorship is good, make sure that the strength is behind them, and you've got to promote them.
If I fix up a meeting for you with the Rugby League to be the PR guru of Super League and the game in general, are you up for it, even at your ripe old age?
No, I'm too old.
You've got all the ideas. What's to do with you?
Listen, I don't mind throwing out the ideas. There's nothing wrong with throwing out the ideas. Some people say, well, that's foolish, that's ridiculous. Other people will say, yeah, that's good. I'm quite happy to do it on our podcast, Eddie. And we're not saying that we're the answer to everything. But I tell you what, sometimes politicians do it all the time. They get on the soapbox, and lo and behold, some people say, that's not a bad idea. So maybe some of our ideas might be outlandish, might be ridiculous. Who knows? But it's worth a try.
It is worth a try. So there you are. He doesn't want to be the PR for the Rugby League, but he wants to now be a Member of Parliament for Dewsbury. Good Lord above. We'll start the campaign, Steve-O. It's on the way. It'll be later on this year. Steve-O for Parliament. That's my cry this week. Talk to you soon.
Take care, top man.